So, as you guys know, I'm a big nerd when it comes to AI. I'm all into it. When ChatGPT 4 or 3 came out a while back, I started playing with that professionally and also personally. But the new one came out this past week, ChatGPT 4.0, which means Omni, and you can talk to it now. So let's
What?
ask it. Yeah, you can talk to it.
What?
Did
I
you,
mean,
would
just yeah, just talk to it like a normal conversation, or you just kind of have to ask it stuff like Siri?
You can ask it stuff, but you can ask it stuff that's personal and it'll remember it. Like I asked it this a week ago. Let's see if it remembers. Hey, ChatGPT, do you know what kind of dog I have and what his name is and what's his temperament?
Yes, your dog is a pug named Rocket. He's a little silly, but generally a good boy. How is Rocket doing today?
He's doing really good. He is sitting in the sunlight and showing me his penis.
Sounds like Rocket is quite comfortable and enjoying the sunny spot. Pugs do have a way of making themselves at home, don't
That's crazy.
When I said show me his penis, it said this content may violate our terms of use.
See if ChatGPT knows anything about crispy coated robots. This could be
Oh,
very
it's yeah, this would be
humiliating.
really good. Yeah. Hey, ChatGPT, do you know anything about the Crispy Coated Robots podcast?
Yes, the Crispy Coated Robots podcast is a show where the hosts discuss various topics, often focusing on pop culture, movies, music, and other entertainment. They tend to have a humorous and lighthearted approach to their discussions. Have you listened to it before?
Listen to it. I'm one of the main characters on it. I'm Jason.
That's awesome, Jason. What's been your favorite episode or topic that you've covered on the podcast?
I
Well, it's
think
going
you've
to be
been
today's
replaced.
episode.
That's right. I've been replaced. Would you like to take Jim's place on the podcast?
Wow, that's quite the twist. I'd be happy to help out, though I might need some practice to match Jim's style. What's today's topic?
Whoa,
Coming in hot.
let's stop it
Wow.
right there. Let's go ahead
Stop
and
it right
start.
there.
She
Yeah.
set up the
Okay,
show. Let's start.
wait. You got to ask her to do her Charles Grodin impression. If she can do that, then Jim's
No,
out.
she'll be too good. Let's start the show.
With the internet gone, info on the past is traded like currency. Three men are hired to go back through time to find out exactly what happened so the future can rebuild. This is the mission of the Crispy Coated Robots, and it must.
Hey, it's
That was
Jim
great.
or Chappy GPT, whatever you want to call me.
Hey, it's Joseph.
Hey, this is really Jason, not a ChatGPT
Wow.
voice simulation.
That was quite the demonstration, Jason. That was wild. That's
Mind is
right.
blown right now.
Yeah, get yourself a computer girlfriend. It's out there.
I'm glad she knew us, but the comedy person in me wanted her to say no.
I know. I was sort of hoping that too.
Just for the pure
Never
laugh
heard of
alone.
it.
She knows all this knowledge of all the world. Do you know about the Crispy Coated? No, just a plain no. Today's show is all about summer movies, and these are movies that take place during summer, not movies released in summer that end up like being called a summer movie, a popcorn movie. This is something with the actual whole background of summer, hot, warm climate. So, anything else I'm leaving out in the description here, guys?
Now, most of them are released during the summertime, though, I will say,
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They are. It's
because
kind of weird when you do get that one. Like I remember, I think seeing Grumpy Old Men during the summer in the first scene, and it takes place during winter. Just going into that theater in August and seeing that super snowfall at the beginning of the movie, it was kind of just. It was. It
didn't
was kind of.
work.
Yeah, well, it was a good movie
Yeah,
though.
it was a
Batman
great movie,
Returns.
but yeah, it didn't work. Didn't have the impact.
Batman Returns was like that too. It was all
Yeah.
set in winter, and you're like, it's in the summer.
Yeah.
Does feels weird.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump into it. Number five from you, Joseph, is what?
Number five is best summer documentary for me is Endless Summer from 1966. This is the great sports documentarian Bruce Brown, who films Robert August and Michael Heisen, and they go all around the world. Have you guys watched this? Have you ever
Well,
watched
I think a
Endless
long
Summer?
time ago when it was on Movie Channel.
It's literally, Jason, you've seen it, although you haven't seen it, because it's so influential to all types of sports documentaries out there. He's done several other ones too, but really, this is the one, the pinnacle, because at the time, in the 60s, they sort of had this like little niche cult following of surfer movies where people would just go out there and film surfers. And it was appreciated by other surfers, right?
I know what this is. So, you're right. I have seen this.
Yeah. You know, they go to Tahiti. This is the first time a lot of people have ever seen Tahiti. You know, they do the North Shore in Oahu, which I actually went to whenever I was in Hawaii. And literally, that was what I was saying. I was like, oh, my God, this is Endless Summer. So that is my number five, Endless Summer.
Endless Summer. Also a good Beach Boys compilation album. What do we got here, Jason? What is your number five?
I had to start out with On Golden Pond because it stars the awesome Dabney Coleman, who we just lost this past week.
Yes.
At the young age of 92, which is crazy. He was 92, right?
Yes. Great.
He always seemed like an old guy. Like probably in 9 to 5, he's probably like 31, but he looks like he's 54.
Home Office, a special message. We need a Dabney Coleman episode. So
yeah,
we did a Charles Grodin. We got to do Dabney Coleman. So that's just for the Home Office to consider for your consideration.
On Golden Pond, Jane Fonda, Dabney Coleman's her love interest. You got Katharine Hepburn and Norman Yo. Henry Fonda. Yeah. So yeah, it's a nice little summer movie set on the Golden Pond.
Different role for Dabney Coleman too. He's the nice guy. He's not the villain. He's the nice guy trying to be. And of course, Henry Fonda is the one set in his ways with the stern look.
The curmudgeon. So.
Yeah, they don't really say if he has Alzheimer's or dementia, but it's strongly.
So hinted. Really sort of a neat thing about On Golden Pond is that movie was very personal for the Fondas because, you know, Jane Fonda and Henry Fonda were on the outs for several years, especially because of all her, you know, political positions and all that he was totally against and all. And
it comes
they
through.
They sort of knew the end was there because this was Henry Fonda's last movie. And they knew the end was there. And there is one scene in it where he's having a conversation. It's about forgiveness and all that. And he is crying in the thing. And they said that when they said cut, he kept on crying. Basically he was using lines to really convey his actual feelings about, you know, getting back together with his daughter. So
sure.
Sort of a neat moment, neat film. Good stuff.
Also, it gives me an opportunity to say that I did meet Dabney Coleman at Dantana's, where they served the Dabney Coleman, which is a steak. And Dabney Coleman looked at me very, I was playing 80s trivia with a guy at the bar, and we started doing Dabney Coleman movies. He looked at me like, get me the heck out of here as soon as possible away from these kids. So, but it was just great to see him in person. You see Dabney Coleman, the legendary.
Dabney Coleman.
But also, you know, the good thing about this movie, too, it really addressed a lot of old issues, like when he walks to the forest and he can't remember where he was and a lot of stuff. So On Golden Pond is a good choice, Jason. My choice. Here's the most famous line. You guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Picture me as Bill Pullman. We are fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will be no longer known as American holiday. But as the day the world declared as one, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not
Memorial Day.
Fight. We Memorial are going day. To live on.
Born on the 4th of July.
Day. Yes, it is. Independence Day, which when you first look at the cast of this thing, I was like, you know, Will Smith, Harry Connick Jr. Harvey Weinstein, which has the greatest
My mother.
The whole, you know, the specific day, I better go call my mother. And then also when he's sitting in traffic and then there's like a car hurling towards me, he goes, oh, crap. Harvey Weinstein, I saw that. It's like, what is he doing in this movie? He kind of makes the movie for me because every time there's a storm, I put, you know, that little gif of him saying, I better go call my mother. But, you know, Randy Quaid is the hero of this piece, spoiler alert. So and this is one of the ones that you'll see deeper in my list, that was a movie set in summer. That was also a huge summer movie in 95 or 96 when it was released. 96. So Independence Day is my number five.
I've never seen the sequel. Wasn't there a sequel?
There was a sequel, and I think I tried to watch a little bit of it. It just was not good. So
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Right, wow. Right, right.
Wow.
It's called, I think it's Independence Day Resurgence or something like that. I don't know. But it didn't do well. Number four for you, Joseph, is what?
So whenever I start thinking of summer movies, I think of like what summer represents, you know, like you have the beach, you know, that's why I was thinking endless summer, you know, the beach and all that. But part of summer to me is summer jobs, you know, especially when you're a teenager, like you have those summer jobs. And so there's a slew of movies. You guys probably have some of them on your list about summer jobs. But to me, the ultimate summer job movie has to be 1980s Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Because it is a hilarious movie. It was released in July whenever it came out there. Everyone loved it. You know, it was Bill Murray and all that. But really is about a group of high school, you know, caddies, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to get scholarships to schools, and the great fun. So a lot of people don't think of it necessarily as a summer movie, but it really is, because it represents what it was. And I remember I worked at this place called Hell and High Water Ranch. It was a golf place, but it also did those company picnics. You know, this was, you know, the 80s, whenever, you know, large companies would have picnics where there'd be like 200 or 300 families that would come. And my older brother Ed worked there, and he got me the job. This was one of my first jobs. I was like 15 or 16 years old, and he was sort of the manager, and he would give me the worst duty at Hell and High Water. The worst duty, because you could work at a pavilion.
And worst duty? What is it?
You had to work the kiddie area. Oh. Now, the kiddie area involved a little like boat ride. It had a carousel merry-go-round, and it had a moon jump like room, you know, one of those air moon jump things. But not only that, you had to watch all three of those. Talk about safety here. I'm talking like 50, 60 kids, three rides, just me there. And I had to do the popcorn and the snow cone machine at the same time. And this was all free. It was all inclusive kind of thing. And never failed, because the kids were like, "Mister, how much is that snow cone?" I'm like, "Free." They're like, "Give me six." Yeah. God dang it. You had to do it. It was the worst ride. It was hot, sweaty, sticky. You had fat little kids that you had to get in and out of those rides. So it was backbreaking. It was awful. But I don't know why. I just associate that experience with Caddyshack, because they had to do crappy stuff.
Well,
did anyone ever throw a candy bar in the pool?
No. That was a whole duty. But we had lots of throw up in the moon bounce house. God. That I had to clean up.
This is my number two, Joseph. I consider it a summer movie. My dad actually worked in the golf industry, and they're excited about this. And then when they saw it, they're like, "That's a little different than we thought." Because it is all about the caddies. And then my summer job, I think Joseph actually had this job too, working for Pepsi. The worst one was when I had no air conditioning in my car, and we went from store to store and filled up shelves on the weekends. And I couldn't wait to get to the next store, because it was just roasting 100 degrees. You know, usually getting your car and get a little relief. This did not happen, but good so choice.
The best thing about this thing, Jim, I'm going to go along with the Pepsi thing. The best thing about this is Matthew Stevens, rest in peace, one of our friends, also worked for Pepsi and got fired. Why, Jim? Why did he get fired?
Well, he just did like the shelves once and then went home.
But you would have a lunch break, because basically you hop around stores and all that. He had a lunch break, and he wearing his Pepsi shirt.
Oh, that's
got a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So, like, talk the about ultimate, fodder the for the competition. Yeah. Like, he was sitting there in his Pepsi shirt drinking a Coca-Cola.
That's just the number one rule right there.
Jason, my favorite line in Caddyshack is Ted Knight when he says, "How would you like to mow my lawn?"
That and you'll get nothing like it.
You want your fat Spalding,
get your foot off the boat. So good. Jason, what's your number four?
Well, when I think of summer, I think of vacation, of course, and that naturally leads to National Lampoon's Vacation.
This is my number four.
Classic.
You guys are
my number one.
Wow. Please talk about it. Oh my God, I'm sorry, steal your thunder. Please go.
You guys go.
All I know is it's the movie where Chevy Chase is really, really interested in the lady in the Ferrari, Christy Brinkley. That's all I remember from it. That's all that matters.
Oh no, this was. I think this, you know,
cultural touchstone.
Yeah, it's a touchstone. It's like it becomes part of like what you think vacations are all about.
Right.
You know,
right.
from especially now that we're older and we've gone on family vacations as the dad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that whole frustration of you just want to have that perfect vacation. You want to make those memories that you yourself as a child have had.
And the family so really doesn't appreciate anything you're trying to do.
No, nothing. No. Nothing about it is appreciated. And so I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's just one of those comedies that for it being an R-rated comedy and all that, it just has a lot of family stuff in it that I just love. So
yeah, the good thing about this is an actual National Lampoon movie. Later on, they just started sticking that title onto a bunch of movies to get people to watch it. It started out as an article written by John Hughes for the National Lampoon before it
That's
became
right.
a movie. And of course, we all know famously it is Walt Disney World. There's no disguising it in the article. It is Walt Disney World. And, you know, everything is pretty much in that article. Of course, you know, elaborated a little bit. You know, we got some little fun things like Brian Doyle Murray's tent owner. $37 for three tents. They're very nice tents, sir. But everything's pretty much there. They just had to change it to Wally World because, of course, we know Disney has a big stranglehold and doesn't want anything bad about Disney. So great movie. I think the whole thing, my favorite part watching it for the first time, remember, is when he loses it, when everybody wants to go home, when they drop off Aunt Edna in the rain. They made that a touchstone of all the vacation films where he kind of loses it. You know, you have it in the Christmas one, you know, at
right.
the Jelly of the Month Club.
European.
But yeah, yep. this was the first lose it, and they're like, you know, that, you know, he tries to, are you okay, Dad? Don't touch.
That's right.
Yeah. So good choice it makes it. So is my number nice. Four, Jason's number four, and Joseph's number one. The list is nice. Building up quickly, so I'm done with that. So we're on number three with you, Joseph.
Sure. So another thing about summer movies is that did you guys ever do summer camps? I never did summer camps. Did y'all do summer camps?
I didn't, but Sam did. I never
okay, so did, Emily did, my daughter did. Yeah
if I did, it was only a week. It wasn't like all summer like the ones you see in these movies.
So I think it's one of those things that I feel like my part of my summer experience was watching camp movies. Mm-hmm. You know, like although I had never been to a camp myself, there were so many movies about camps. We even did an episode about camps, I think. But the whole thing about it is there's one camp movie that really said, oh, well, this is what camp is, and I wish I could go to it, and that is 1979's Meatballs. This is the teenage version of Animal House, you know, snobs versus slobs. Bill Murray at his sarcastic best, I feel like, you know. The movie doesn't hold up quite as well as I remember it. I watched it not so long ago, and I was like, it's okay. But I just remember loving this movie, setting a tone. I feel like, Jim, this really sort of was a touchstone for your comedy chops.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on it. But Meatballs 1979 is my number three.
Classic.
Was it Hi Mickey? What's the guy's name? Is Marty or whatever they
Marty,
call him?
Yeah. Marty. Exactly.
Yeah. Jason, what is your number three?
My number three is a movie that when I knew that we were going to do summer movies, this one was the first one that came to mind. It's about a hooker with a heart of gold, and it put a young actor on the map, Mark Hamill, when he's trying to find his stolen Corvette.
Corvette
Summer. Nice. Dumbest looking Corvette. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Google it, people. I mean, it's all modified and just stupid looking. And of course, he finds it, and it's been repainted a different color. And it's just the hunt for his stolen Corvette. Corvette Summer.
This was a big deal.
Summer movie.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal because they released it right after Star Wars, I think.
Right after Star Wars, yep.
And then, of course, Annie Potts. It kind of introduced the world to Annie Potts, who went on to do, of course, Designing Women, Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and then still watched her the other day in the finale for Young Sheldon. So, I mean, Oh, yeah. Kind of an American treasure there, along with Mark Hamill. But this movie kind of, I remember it kind of coming and going, but it shows up.
Movie Channel.
Yeah. And there's a movie channel movie. And then also I think I saw Andy Potts recently with like somebody had a poster, had him sign a poster of Corvette Summer. So
that's awesome.
Still kind of hanging around there, you know,
Corvette Summer.
Gone, but not forgotten. Mm-hmm. My number three was a movie experience I think Joseph and I will never forget. That was saying Do the Right Thing at Greenway 3, the Art House Cinema in Houston, Texas, which is no longer there. The movie takes place on the hottest day of summer where racial tensions are brewing between Danny Aiello's pizzeria with all the Italian brothers on the wall and no brothers on the wall. Yeah. And then it's all these other things going on, being the hottest day, tensions rising. And then we also have, the police versus...
This is a good one. I forgot about this one. Good.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a summer movie released in summer, because I think it was like later summer, Joseph, we saw it. Because I think we were either back in... No, I think we both took summer classes. So, yeah. But very serious. And then the ending when there's the riot scene, you know, you and I were... definitely
we were made aware of our surroundings.
Yes.
I think we were the only white guys in the theater.
Yeah. Well done.
It was like I said, it's super drama filled. It was like, I think Spike Lee's movie before that was She's Gotta Have It, which was kind of the sex comedy thing. And then School Days. And this is the third one that really kind of cemented him as a serious, super serious filmmaker. So
Danny Aiello is incredible in it too.
Yeah. They wanted De Niro to play the part. So
what? I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that would have been interesting. But I think for age purposes at the time, I think Danny Aiello would have been better. De Niro was still doing the starring roles and stuff. So
right.
All right. So we are moving on now to number two, Joseph. Number two summer movie.
You know, you talked about Independence Day, you know, featuring 4th of July and all that, but there's one movie that is the movie about 4th of July because it surrounds 4th of July. I'm talking about Jaws. Jaws.
Yes.
That's a summer movie. That's true.
Yeah. This is my number one. So Jaws makes it in two.
This is, what is it? Amity Island? Amity Island. Sorry, Amity Island. And the 4th of July. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things that, boy, it has it all. It has beach, bikinis, gore, and a great line about boats. So there you go.
We're gonna go ahead,
Jim. You tell me. You go with it.
Oh, I mean, just like I said, like it is the ultimate summer movie. I mean, the whole thing. It's like the whole reason that Murray Hamilton's mayor is so upset about the shark attack and trying to keep it is he wants the tourism for the 4th of July. That's where they make their big money. So
it's awesome when he goes to the beach and he's trying to get people to go in the water.
Yeah.
Which, get in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
You get in the water.
The funny thing is, after all these shark attacks, he's still the mayor in Jaws 2. How did he win re-election?
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's like, you know, what happened here? Is there nobody else to run against this guy saying, hey, I'm going to, with the Sharks, I'm going to let you guys know, you know? Great performances, though, by Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, and, of course, Roy Scheider as the, so this, I think the chemistry between them, especially between Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw, which I think on the set was like that, too, that whole, it really worked well for the whole old school seaman versus this marine biologist guy. So
absolutely.
So Jaws makes it in. My list is done.
I was about to say, Jim, we're sort of at a weird thing, which is that you and my list and your list is done. So Jason,
is it my show? The whole rest of the show is mine.
Jason has the show. Oh, Jason, great. The show is yours. Please take it away.
Well, my next summer movie, number two, is a classic. When I tell you nobody puts Baby in the Corner, you know I'm talking about
Dirty Dancing,
which is a summer camp movie. Right? Well, it's not a summer camp, I guess, because the
summer vacation movie. Yeah.
Baby's there with her family, and Patrick Swayze, of course, teaches her how to dance, you know, in a salsa-ish kind of way that they say is dirty, but it's not really all that dirty. Dirty Dancing. Anybody want anything to it?
It's a fun family film about abortion.
We saw it. Joseph and I saw it. We thought it was great.
Yeah, the thing about it too is you watch the making of it. Nobody had faith in this movie at all. And of course, Swayze hated Jennifer Grey because they didn't get along on Red Dawn. So I mean, it's it was really against the odds hit when it
became the great Jennifer Grey and her original nose.
Yes. Poor thing. Poor thing. Why'd you do that? You know.
I know. But,
no, that's great. That one scene where he's trying to teach her how to dance and he like puts his hand across her rib cage, you know, and, mm-hmm, and strokes it down. She starts laughing.
Yep.
They did that take over a dozen times and she was laughing the whole time. And the frustration that he has on his face was actual frustration.
That's funny.
After they would cut it, he was like, come on, be a professional and stuff like that. They kept one of those in there. So that's not really acting on Swayze's part. He was really upset with Jennifer Grey for not being more professional. So.
And
that's awesome.
This is actually, it might have a good chance, Jason, because Jack Weston is in the movie. And, you know, any movie with Jack Weston, he's like Charles Grodin to me, has a good chance of making it. What is your number one, Jason?
And my number one is the greatest summer camp movie of all time. I See Your Meatballs. You know, I will raise you one wet, hot American summer.
I was wondering if someone's going
to
have
it. So stupid funny. It's got so many great people in it. Janine Garofalo's in it. Elizabeth Banks is in it. Paul Rudd's in it. A very unknown Bradley Cooper's in it. So many great stars, and it's just ridiculous. A lot of the people who I think were on The State, on MTV's The State, are in this movie.
Yes.
Wet Hot American Summer.
From the opening scene, because, I mean, I was in Pittsburgh at the time in summer. When they played Jane by Jefferson Starship, I was like, man, they captured the time perfectly. Because this, I remember when this song came out, it was in summer when we were living in Pittsburgh, and just that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the authenticity of the cutoff blue jeans.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's just there's just so much of it, you know, that they're like, yeah, these people really experience this age. Jason, this was actually on my list. I replaced it with Meatballs, but it's right there, so it has a good chance.
Gonna have Friday the 13th, but I had to go this way because
yeah, a little too. You know. I thought about that too, but of course, I'm not a big horror fan. But the thing about this movie too is when they did the sequels on Netflix.
Right.
It's kind of a parody of all those movies that had the actors that were too old to play teens still playing teens,
like 30 with the same and 40 bad wigs old.
On. So I mean, I did like the series they did.
I did too.
On the, because one of them is like first day at camp, so it's supposed to take place on the first day of that camp, but of course it's like 10 years later they make it, so everybody's it's kind of ridiculous, but fun. So
my favorite is when he pushes the kid out of the van.
Good stuff. All right, so let's
evaluate here what we have for our summer movies. We have Caddyshack, Vacation, which was a three-way, and Jaws. So we have three of the five here. I'm going to read you the list of what we can choose from. We have Endless Summer, Meatballs, On Golden Pond, Corvette Summer, Dirty Dancing, Wet Hot American Summer, Independence Day, and Do the Right Thing.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Those are good stuff. Yeah, those are good stuff. I sort of like the old On Golden Pond. I got to be honest with you. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. But yeah, that might be a good one. I was trying to do a Henry Fonda. It's just like it would have came out like James Stewart. So it would have been bad.
You know? You can't do a Fonda?
I don't think so. I think it would have came out as
Can you James do a Catherine Stewart Hepburn? Can you do a Hepburn?
Catherine Hepburn. You know,
Norman. Norman
for strawberries. Too. So, I mean, I've been kind of, you know, now if James Stewart was in the movie, Dab Nicole. Stay away from my daughter. I'm getting old. My name is Norman. Terrible. All right.
Well, so I think it's a toss up between Independence Day and Do the Right Thing.
Ooh, two different movies. Yes.
I know, right?
Do you want Harvey, you know, do we need to find another way to get Harvey Firestein into the future? I don't know if this is it though. Because Do the Right Thing is pretty strong in the impact it made that summer. That was a good summer for movies, 1989. Somebody should write a book about that with, I mean, Batman, Do the Right Thing, Lethal Weapon 2 was even good, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid or whatever, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids or whatever that movie was. They had a lot of hits. Indiana Jones, third one.
Yep.
So, I can be talked into Independence Day. It's got Will Smith.
Both of them are mine, so either one is fine with me.
I'm good with either. Jason, I'm going to let you make the call on this one.
Oh, man.
Jason. Oh, crap.
Well, it seems like it would be Independence Day, but I think we have to do the right thing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
All right. So let me go ahead and read you our list now. Caddyshack, Jaws, Vacation, On Golden Pond, and Do the Right Thing.
Nice list.
That's pretty good.
Very nice. That's, you know, I got to work on my Fonda, guys. I really feel like I let you down on this episode. So at least I got we all got the Harvey Firestein, which was kind of cool. I think we all.
Oh, crap.
Well, oh, this crap. Episode's been one for the books. You better go call your mother and tell her about it. Anything else you'd like to add about summer movies?
I had a blast. Summer movies happen so fast.
Right. Hey, ChatGPT, do you have a favorite summer movie?
It's hard to pick just one, but Jaws is a classic summer movie.
Whoa.
It has that perfect mix of suspense and beach vibes. How about you? Do you have a favorite summer movie?
You are being replaced.
Wow, Jaws. Oh, no, Jason, you didn't choose Jaws, did you? No, so wow.
I'm telling you. Jim's number one. He's being replaced. He's being replaced.
AI is not just going to take our jobs. It's going to take our hobbies. Oh, my God.
See if AI knows what is the famous closing of the Crispy Coated Robots podcast.
It's not going to know that.
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, ChatGPT, what's the closing of the Crispy Coated Robots podcast? What do they say at the very end of the show?
At the end of the Crispy Coated Robots podcast, you typically say, remember, there's always tomorrow. It's a nice, hopeful way to wrap up each episode.
Holy crap.
Oh, crap.
Holy crap. That's
the call my mother.
That's the Harvey Firestein.
Oh, my Jason God.
Like, she's going to know this.
Holy crap.
Or is there? She left out the is there, but that is scary. That is scary.
That's crazy. My mind's blown.